it's important for us to understand that the way that Jesus himself played this out, mm-hmm. right? The way that Jesus was obedient to this call,
right.
was he literally let people take him and kill him and murder
right.
him.
Right.
And all the while he didn't resist, he didn't fight back. If anyone could strike his assailants down, it's Jesus.
Right.
And yet he didn't.
Right.
Because he knew that the Son of God, if you like, the picture of God's love for people looks like that.
Right. All right, welcome back to the Post Sermon Podcast. I'm Trevor Batten. I'm here with my wife Micah and Phil Kwan, who preached for us today. How you guys doing?
Great. What's up?
Alrighty. So it was pretty heavy today, Phil. I guess you drew the short straw. Is that how that worked?
No, actually, today was supposed to be the first day of Advent. So,
that's right.
Most of last week and the first half of this week, I was actually preparing to preach on John 1.
Oh, nice.
And, in the beginning was the Word, and Word was with God, and Word was God. That's what I was planning on until, like, some I think it was Chris, mentioned the preaching calendar, and I looked it up, and I had to throw everything away and start
Aww.
Over. And that's, it's good. God is very intentional
mm-hmm.
with even things like this. God's mm-hmm. providence is very mm-hmm. intentional, and so I know that this was really probably more for me than anybody else, to be honest. but
it was good. So we just continued, instead of starting Advent, we continued the Redefined series, and we talked about retaliation and loving our enemies. So we got a bunch of questions. So before we jump in, just give us a quick recap of what you talked about today.
Yeah, so before we start, I think it's really important for us to all kind of start with this baseline that God's word
mm-hmm.
is true.
Right.
And the reason why we say that is because if we approach God's word and any part of God's word based on our feelings or based on our experiences or based on our sense of right and wrong,
mm.
then inevitably there are going to be parts of God's word that we're not going to like. We're going to cut out. And if you do that, then at the end, really the only God in the room is yourself, because now you're the right. one who's deciding what parts of the Bible you want to obey and
right.
what parts you don't. That's not true obedience.
Right.
And so that's what's so hard about this, and that's what's so provocative about this, is that Jesus calls us to some really, really difficult things.
Yeah.
And yes, there's nuance to it, because you have to look at the fullness of Scripture. You have to look at the whole Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, it's still really, really challenging.
Right.
Because in this passage, Jesus says, "You've heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Love your neighbor, hate your enemies."
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, this idea of like tit for tat. Repay evil for evil. If someone hurts you, then you have a right to hurt them back,
right.
to teach them a lesson,
mm-hmm.
right? What we said, the like schoolhouse rules, if a bully hits you, then you hit them right back or they'll
right.
never learn. And Jesus is going to flip it totally upside down. And actually, he talked about anger
uh-huh.
and murder. He talked about lust
uh-huh.
And adultery. He talked about oaths and integrity. But it's almost like it's as if he knew that we would struggle with this the most, that he just goes out of his way to give all of these examples
right.
of what that looks like.
Right.
And it's really frustrating. I'll be the first person to say is that I don't like it. I don't want to obey it because it doesn't feel good to me. I am trusting God's word, and I know that ultimately the beginning of all wisdom is the fear of the Lord, right?
Right?
And
mm-hmm.
trusting the word of God. And
right.
so I am in obedience moving forward to try and understand and obey
mm-hmm.
when he says, love your enemies and do not resist the one who is evil. I'm wrestling with that with the rest of you. Now, if you're not wrestling with it and you're just ticked off by it, then I want to challenge you to really investigate your heart and ask yourself, are you willing to, are you really willing to follow Jesus? Mm-hmm. If there's no struggle in you, you know, if you're just like,
nope,
no. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. but if there is struggle in you, that's good. You should struggle. And anyway, that's kind of what we talked about, loving your enemies, something that's very, very backwards from the way that the world mm-hmm. tells us we should respond to the people who hurt us.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, that's so good. When you're talking about, and I kind of want to emphasize this point before we jump in the question, because I think it's a really good point you made of approaching the Bible as the word of God, like his absolute word. Because when you're saying, if you approach it with this kind of salad bar mentality where you're just picking and choosing, you are the God.
Yeah.
You're the one who decides what the word of God is. And that just throws me back to like Adam and Eve in the garden. Like mm-hmm. you're defining good and evil for yourself instead of submitting to God's standard of good and evil. And Jesus, I mean, really clearly, I almost wish he wasn't as clear here, but it's just so clear in this passage what he's saying.
Yeah, and that's not to say that, like, it's easy.
Right.
Or it's a walk in the park,
right.
or it's going to be, like, sunshines and rainbows. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you really have to ask yourself, do you trust God's word, and are you willing to obey it, no matter what? And, yeah. Mm.
Well, we had, like I said, a bunch of really good and challenging questions, so thank you guys for sending these in. The first one is this. Does this mean I shouldn't defend my life and family if being attacked?
Well, let me put it this way. Let me put it this way. Let me kind of take a step back,
okay?
Because the question here is if someone is coming for your life, if someone's coming for your life...
Right.
For the early church, when they read this and when they understood the word of the Lord, mm-hmm. and when the Roman government systematically persecuted them, arrested them, and murdered them, mm-hmm. they believed that enduring suffering for Christ's sake meant that they would allow themselves to be unfairly and unjustly executed. Right. So the question is we see that. Right? Mm-hmm. What does that mean for us in our context? And that's really, really challenging. The challenge that Jesus gives to the sons of God, the daughters of God, the people of God, is he says that if someone comes after you,
right,
do not resist. Do not resist the one who is evil. Because if you look at the full canon of scripture, you also see that God tells us as the church mm-hmm. to defend the orphan and the widow,
right.
to defend those and protect those and guard those and mm-hmm. care for those and provide for those who are marginalized.
Right.
People who are dying of hunger, he calls the church to feed those people,
right.
to love those people by caring for them in their weakness mm-hmm. and in their despair and in their suffering. And so there is a place that we see that in scripture of God calling his people to protect people who are marginalized,
right.
or being attacked. God calls the church to defend. Now, what that looks like exactly, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know, because they're godly men and women that I know and I respect so much. And they own guns,
right.
and I respect them for owning guns. And if someone comes through their door, they're going to put that guy down.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally respect that, because I know that they are going to protect those who cannot protect themselves. And I see that in scripture. But I also understand that there are those who would say, if someone's going to come to take my life, I won't resist them.
If it's just you.
If it's my life.
If it's just mm-hmm. you and not yeah. your family or other people
yeah.
involved. Yeah.
Yeah. If it's my life and someone comes to take my life, then I'll gladly lay it down.
Right.
Because it's a picture of Christ. Mm-hmm. And the early church, they constantly did that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you know what happened? is the Roman government got tired of killing Christians and eventually they fell apart because the whole world
right.
could not deny that this was something different and new.
Right.
You know, I'll go on record that I don't own a firearm. I thought about it, but
you
I don't.
Own a sword, though.
I do own the sword. I don't own a gun, and I don't plan on owning a gun. If someone really wants to take my life, then I'm going to. My plan is to preach the gospel to them as they're killing me.
Right.
That sounds terrible, but I trust the Lord to care for my wife and my children. I don't want that to happen, but that's what that looks like for me. If someone who's evil is coming to take the lives of my wife and children, I will defend them.
Right.
Because right. I believe that God desires for me to defend those who cannot defend themselves.
Right. And it seems like what Jesus is talking about here is there seems to be a distinction between personal retaliation, like someone has wronged you personally or is coming after you personally. And it doesn't seem like in this case he's talking about you are witnessing evil that's about to take place to another person. What do you do? It doesn't seem like he's talking about that. Is he?
Yeah. It
you're about to watch a train wreck.
It's a personal
right.
defense. Like, yeah, you want to, this is about vengeance, about vindication, about just like personal sense of justice.
Right.
And I know we're about to talk about the military here in a second. But yeah, I mean, it's very challenging. There's a lot of nuance.
Yeah.
But you know, it's important for us to understand that the way that Jesus himself played this out, right? The way that Jesus was obedient to this call,
right?
Was he literally let people take him and kill him and murder
right.
him.
Right.
And all the while he didn't resist. He didn't fight back. If anyone could strike his assailants down, it's Jesus.
Right.
And yet he didn't.
Right.
Because he knew that the Son of God, the picture of God's love for people looks like that.
Right. And I think this kind of connects back to your initial point of like, this is God's word. You must approach it like that. It's important to not let all the nuances become your excuse.
Yes. Yeah.
To like, well, there's so many different situations that could happen that you overcomplicate it in your brain to the point where you now have an excuse to just skip that part of the Bible. And I don't think that's responsible.
No, and like I said, if you struggle, that is good.
Right.
Lean into the struggle.
Right.
Ask God to reveal it to you. Ask God to teach you, tell you, instruct you, reveal it to you, define it out. And if it's through tears and weeping because the pain is so great, then be there and wrestle right. with it.
Mm-hmm.
But the worst place we can be is, like you said, is where we make enough excuses that we just kind of gloss over his word and we just say, I'm just going to do what I want.
Right. Well, like you said, we're going to talk about the military. Mm-hmm. So the next person said, how does this passage apply to those who serve in the military and fight evil? Are they falling short of God's will?
So what's interesting is that Jesus seems to have a real soft spot for soldiers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that sounds weird to say. but he very much loves soldiers, mm-hmm. and Roman soldiers in particular, because those were the soldiers that were around.
Right.
I think about the Roman centurion. I think about in the early church, I think about Theophilus, which probably wasn't even his name. It was a title. Like
right.
Theophilus means lover of God.
Right.
And the fact that that two of the books in your New Testament are written directly addressing this this leader in the military.
Right, that's Luke and Acts.
Yes. And so Jesus and Scripture, actually, like nowhere in Scripture does it tell us to be pacifists
right.
necessarily, although again, there are people that I love and respect immensely who believe their own personal conviction in reading God's word and being led by the Spirit. They are led to be pacifists, and I respect them. Bonhoeffer, actually, mm-hmm. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, famously, he, in his desire to be obedient to the word of God, he himself was a pacifist during World War II, mm-hmm. until there was a point where he said, this evil is so great that to simply stand back would be sinful, and I must engage it.
Right.
And that was his own personal conviction. And that's how Project Valkyrie happened, that's how that assassination attempt on Hitler happened, and he died a martyr for it. So all of this to say is there are people who read this and read scripture and they're convicted by the Holy Spirit to be pacifists, mm-hmm. But it never explicitly says that. In fact, there are many points where Jesus commends soldiers for their desire to be obedient mm-hmm. to authority.
Right.
If you remember, there was I mentioned the Roman centurion who sent a servant to Jesus because his servant, I think it was his servant, or it was his son,
I think so, yeah.
Was dying of sickness,
yeah.
And he sent someone to go get Jesus, and Jesus said, I'll be there.
Right.
And then the centurion said, no, Jesus, I'm a man under authority, mm-hmm. and you are the one with the highest authority. If you say he's healed, he'll be healed. And Jesus said, there is no one in all of Israel like this man's faith.
And this is a Roman soldier.
And this is a Roman soldier.
Not even a Jew.
And so Jesus didn't say, hey, listen, hang up your sword.
Yeah.
But instead he commends him on his faith.
Right.
And so to that answer, I don't believe that this is talking about the military and fighting in the military at all. I do think it means that every soldier should put his loyalty and his allegiance to God above his commanding officer. And listen, full disclosure, I was never in the military. I'm not a soldier myself. And so I'm not even going to pretend like I understand mm-hmm. what that's like. What I am saying is that this is what the word of God is pointing us to.
The next person said, please help me understand something. God in the Old Testament seemed vengeful at times, and for good reason. Baal worship, child sacrifice, sexual immorality, idolatry, etc. The punishment always fit the crime when his wrath was poured out. When I study the life of Jesus, I find love. No fire and brimstone. Why is this so? John 10:30 says, I and the Father are one.
Yeah, I would really encourage this person to keep reading.
Right.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because remember that all of scripture is contiguous.
Right.
It all agrees with itself. And I know that it's really hard to see the full picture. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like trying to take in the whole Grand Canyon from the ground level. It's just really, it's hard to do. But when you read Isaiah 53,
mm-hmm.
and it talks about the suffering servant, about how like the chastisement of our sins was laid upon him, by his wounds we are healed.
Right.
He was stricken.
Mm-hmm.
That is true of Jesus.
Right.
But when it talks about in other places in the Psalms, like Psalm 2 and Psalm, I think, 110,
mm-hmm.
Where it talks about the vengeance of God and the justice of God on the day of the Lord, that's talking about Jesus too.
Right.
And I think I mentioned this during second service, but if you go and read Revelation 19, I know everyone's like, ooh, like Revelation, Bible study. If you go and read Revelation 19, it's the picture of the last battle,
right?
It's Jesus and the armies of God and the people of God all standing against the forces of darkness mm-hmm. and evil on the famous mountain, on Armageddon. And you know the only one that it mentions who has a sword?
Yeah.
Jesus is the only one with the sword.
Right.
What really happens is Jesus executes justice for all of the evil that has been done.
Right.
And some people don't like that picture of Jesus. They like baby Jesus in the manger if you're into Talladega Nights.
Yes.
But can I tell you something? There is intense evil in this world.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And God would not be a God who is worthy of worship if there is not justice executed for that evil.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the promise of that justice is in the future.
Right.
And what Jesus is calling us to is to live in light of that promise. Do you trust him? That's the real question.
Right.
Yeah.
Is do you trust that Jesus is just and he will vindicate and avenge?
Right.
And by the way, you know, a lot of times we want Jesus' sword. We want to see that sort of vengeance vindicate us.
Right.
But we just, man, you know, you got to turn to yourself and see the sin that's in your own heart and be very careful what you want, wish for. Because if we all got what we deserve, then there would be judgment and vengeance against all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I rejoice in the mercy of God.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pray for God's mercy for everyone I meet, because I know that I am not deserving of mercy.
Right. Right. So they went on to ask a little bit further of a question. So they said, when Joshua, so Old Testament, when Joshua slaughtered the Canaanites, he was actively eradicating evil, kind of like what you're talking about. He wasn't resisting it. God used Joshua to defeat evil. One could say that God used America to defeat the Nazi regime and end the genocide of the Jews. My question is this. Why would God write his moral law on the hearts of every man and woman for us to simply ignore it? When it comes to foolish, ignorant controversies, I will patiently endure evil. But I believe that a line needs to be drawn. Do you draw a line? Where do you draw that line? And how do you gather whether God is enacting vengeance through man or man is enacting vengeance through himself?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I don't know. That's the simple answer.
Yeah.
What I do know is that when I read scripture, God defines the moments and the times where he calls this particular group of people to execute justice on his behalf. It's very, very clear. And there are times where the people of God, in their presumptiveness, go out and try and do the same thing, and God recalls them and says, no, that's wrong.
Right.
King Saul tries to do that, and he ends up losing his kingship.
Right.
The Israelites do that when they try and fight the Canaanites on their own because they were, like, terrified because they rejected God, and God said, don't go and fight. And they're like, no, we're going to go fight now. And they get whooped.
Yeah.
So that's very clear in Scripture when we see that. Now, after that point, I don't know.
Right.
And I can't guarantee anything about anyone fighting any kind of just war.
Right.
Like, I don't have that authority. If someone else feels like they have the authority, then I don't know where you get that authority from.
Right.
But God has not written it down for me to know when it is or isn't a just whatever. Can God do that? Absolutely. Does God do that? Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Someone steals my credit card number, and I'm gonna come at them with the full weight and the vengeance of every, you know, legal device available to me. I don't know that that's really a just war.
Right.
I think maybe it's about a personal vengeance.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It's on a smaller scale.
Yeah, and I have to be careful here because, again, the application for this for the people of God in the early church was much bigger. It was systematic. It was the whole church.
Right.
And it brought the Roman government down.
Right.
So I don't know. Plus, it's hard. It's very difficult.
I don't know if correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if even if that's the case, if God's going to use, like, let's just say America as a tool of judgment. I don't even know if you should desire something like that, because it seems to me every time in Scripture that God uses one nation to judge another, the tool, the nation that he uses, ends up getting exposed and judged as well, right? So, like, I don't know if you want that spotlight on you, if that makes sense.
But. Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's very dangerous to put yourself in a position where you assume that you're the sword of heaven. Right. You know? Just be careful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a struggle, like, I don't know where the line is. I don't know if there is a line. How do I draw the line?
Yeah.
I'm wrestling with that because I want to do right and I want to obey God, but I see this injustice and it bothers me so much. Lord, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? That's a good place to be. Right.
So your answer to those of, like, where to draw a specific line would be wrestle individually and wrestle with the rest of God's people.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So don't do it alone. Someone else said, what does this topic look like practically? Are we not supposed to fight for custody of our kids? Are we really supposed to let others take everything we have?
Ooh, that's hard because, you know, I have 3 children of my own, and I think about that. Again, I want everyone to understand the fullness of Scripture,
mm-hmm.
that God calls us to defend the orphan and the widow, the marginalized, the sojourner, the traveler, the immigrant, the person who's being attacked or persecuted. God calls the church to care for them and defend them and protect them. It says in the book of James, true religion that is acceptable to God is this, that you would visit widows in their suffering. Like, it's very clear that God calls the church to do that. So I would say, if your children are in danger, you're called as a parent to defend them and protect them. This isn't the question, but there are so many questions about, like, abuse and assault and things like that. And, there is a way for you, what I want to tell you is I want to tell you to fly to the church,
right.
To run to the church, run to the people of God, and let us care for you and get you out of that situation. All the while, as you, in your heart, in obedience to God, forgive and pray for the people who are doing evil to you, let the church defend you and get you out of there.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, I don't say that with any kind of cavalier attitude,
right.
or I don't say it lightly. It is extremely difficult.
Right.
I hate that we have to talk about that, but I know that that's a question. I know there are a lot of people hurting.
Right.
Again, there is no excuse for that evil. But God calls us to love our enemies, and that's there.
Right. Yeah. They also said, what about when the person who keeps hurting you, the person you don't want to forgive, is yourself?
That one I think we can all relate to. There's this really sweet song. I mentioned it earlier. There's this really sweet song by this guy, Andrew Peterson. And if you don't know who Andrew Peterson is, you have to go listen to his stuff. It is so good. And actually, I've been listening to a lot of his stuff on repeat the last week and a half, just as a way of, like, letting it minister to me. And there is a song that he wrote called Be Kind to Yourself. And the bridge of that song, I think exemplifies it perfectly. It says, how does it end when the war that you're in is just you against you against you? Mm-hmm. You got to learn to love your enemies too.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a song that, as far as I know, I think he wrote it for his teenage daughter. I think they sing it together, actually.
Oh, cool.
He wrote it for his teenage daughter because it's something that we struggle with. And learning to love yourself and take care of yourself, forgive yourself, pray for the good of yourself.
Right.
Those are all really, really important things. We want God's desire is for us to have fullness of life, to have joy, peace, to live as people of patience,
right.
People who pray for their city and experience the fullness of purpose and meaning in Christ Jesus. Codependency, idolatry, those kinds of things, they're not good.
Right.
And we need to ask God to rescue us from those things. And when it comes to, you know, that anger and that bitterness you have towards yourself, my encouragement is to surrender that and pray and be honest and give it up to God and remind yourself of these things, to love your enemies, pray for their good, even if that means it's yourself.
Man, that's so good. Any closing thoughts?
I will say, it is very easy with these sorts of things to imagine the person who's preaching to be some kind of institution or some kind of machine.
Right.
And I promise you that I am not a machine. And I promise you that I'm not perfect. And so I am asking all of you to pray for me and to extend grace. I'm very much struggling with this as much as everyone else, I'm sure, is struggling with it. And that's something that we get to do together as the family of God. It's very, very hard to. I was joking earlier about how, like, if you preached about pornography or adultery or whatever,
yeah.
It seems, like, really intense.
Right.
But actually, everyone generally can go with the whole idea that porn is not healthy.
Right.
Even though it sounds really controversial, it's actually not.
Right.
But if there's one thing in especially in the American ethos, American culture,
right.
That is extremely difficult to speak to, it's our sense of justice.
That's right. Yeah.
And so, listen, I want us to understand, and I want us to obey and be obedient and to experience God. And so please wrestle with this with me. And if you see me as your enemy, then I would ask that you would love your enemies.
Right. And pray for them.
And pray for me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I love you guys, and I'm so grateful to get to share with you what's going on in my life and really God's heart that we would be the sons and daughters of God.
Right. Well, thanks for your time, Phil, and thanks for being bold and not skipping the hard passages. And thank y'all for sending in the questions. We love going through them, even though they were pretty hard, but hey, that's what we do, we wrestle here. So thank you for those, and we will see y'all next week. Are we continuing Redefined next
week? So next week is in fact the first week of Advent.
Alrighty.
So we're gonna do Advent, and actually after Christmas we're gonna jump back into the Sermon on the Mount and
awesome.
Continue the series.
Alrighty, well that's what we're doing next week. We'll see y'all then.